hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that comes in like the weather. It's always unpredictable. We always talk about last week's nerdy stuff. I'm your host, as always, Dom, a.k.a. Brother Dom on the internet. And I'm joined by another host. Would you like to tell these people who you are?
As always, it is me, Captain Steph, on the Twitters, the Snowqueer on the Tumblrs, Stephanie right here.
That's amazing. That's who you are. That's
it is.
The very essence of who you are. How you doing today, Steph?
I'm feeling good. I'm having a lazy Sunday in. I went out and got my laundry, and that was about it.
That's not too bad. That's a pretty good day. I wish I could say that my day was equally as middle of the road. I've had a horrible day today. and besides the million things we're always all putting up with, my body's like, you know what would be great? Toothache. Everyone loves a toothache. You can't hold your hand on your tooth. So that's kind of shitty. But other than that, I've just been laying around watching Criminal Minds reruns and eating like takeout food or delivery food. So not the worst day of my life, I suppose. But I'm in a better mood than a sizable portion of the internet, Steph.
Why is that?
Because my dreams haven't been crushed. This year, anyway. They were crushed in 2006. But my dreams haven't been crushed this year. I heard Thor got a haircut.
Yeah, I had blocked that until just now. I'm very heartbroken about this.
You wrote this in the show notes.
Yeah, I wrote this in the show notes like a week ago when I first saw the entertainment cover. Well, it would have been less than a week ago because we recorded a week ago. But anyway, I had this, like, you know, pipe dream where because Thor's hair got consecutively longer as the Thor and Avengers movies progressed, that it was just going to always do that, and, like, eventually he and Loki were going to have, like, waist-length flowing locks that they had to, like, French braid or something to keep out of the way. And my hopes were dashed by the cover of Entertainment Weekly last week. The Thor Ragnarok special edition has Thor front and center with, like, a not quite a buzz cut, but it's hella short.
So it's not like just Chris Hemsworth happened to get a haircut like Thor actually did?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, because, I mean, they could... No, that's actually been his real hair this whole time, I'm pretty sure. So, like, because I think I read something in the interview about the movie that he was like, it was such a relief to not have to spend an hour in the chair every morning getting it styled.
Oh. Well, it's, I mean, he took, like, the natural approach, unlike Tony Stark, who's like, I got platform boots.
Yeah, other than that, like, I have such... I know you are not a fan of the Thor movies, but I am a fan of mediocre fantasy, and, therefore... And, like, I'm also, like, a, like, low-key fangirl, like, as opposed to a high-key low-key fangirl.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. And I'm very interested in how, like, complex Tom Hiddleston has made the character who could otherwise be, like, a very one-note villain.
That's true. Loki could be as easy or as complex as you would want him to be.
Yeah, so, like, I'm interested to see his role in this upcoming movie as well. But my big disappointment about this cover... Well, there are three remaining things that I would like to touch on. First thing is that I'm excited that Valkyrie got a spot on the cover.
Very nice.
Tessa Thompson, who's a black woman, who's playing Valkyrie, who's traditionally a blonde white woman. So I'm glad that she's getting featured.
Is she an Asgardian as well?
She is an Asgardian.
So, like, Marvel has apparently not that many qualms race bending the Asgardians. So, like, where's all the, like, the women of color on Earth? Like, why don't... Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah. But then additionally, the other thing, though, that I'm disappointed about with both Valkyrie and Hela, who were, like, flanking Thor on the cover, Cate Blanchett is playing Hela, who's the Queen of Hell, as one might guess. It's all pulled from, like, Norse mythology, so it's the Norse who are uncreative as opposed to Marvel in this particular instance.
I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying.
But both of their outfits are very boob cuppy.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Like, Sif always had, like, very respectable plate armor that was not curved to, like, cup her breasts in the way that armor ought not to. And both of them have very, like, boob sock tops on.
Let's look at this cover, because
Which is a disappointment to me, because, I mean, after they killed Freya last movie, I had kind of given up hope on the Thor movies doing well by their women, but this is just, like, a low blow.
It's a specific kind of stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, see, there's such an easy way to get away with the boob armor. Like, it's such a simple thing, and that's just to give the men, like, specifically pec armor, where it's, like, it's not as sexualized, but it's, like, equally
as stylized, unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is just kind of, oh man, what are you guys doing? And yeah, Thor doesn't look right with his haircut. He kind of looks like...
looks like a gladiator or something.
Yeah, like Mel Gibson.
I know there's... Oh.
I mean, not Mel Gibson, but like the dude he played.
Yeah, like younger.
And that guy had long hair, so I don't know what I mean. Like, Braveheart had long hair, didn't he? So
yeah.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
It's okay. Mel Gibson had played many characters, so I assumed you were talking about him in, like, Lethal Weapon or something.
I don't know. I was specifically just thinking of Braveheart because... forget Mel Gibson.
Yeah. But,
so now he's just a regular Chris now. There we go.
Just another short-haired blonde Chris amongst all of the rest of them. But a bright spot in all of this, is that Jeff Goldblum looks fucking insane.
Like, that's the Jeff Goldblum style.
Which is so purely, perfectly Jeff Goldblum that I'm just so excited to meet his character and just see what on earth is going on with him. Because he's got, like, this, like, spiked hair and blue eyeliner and, like, red and gold robes and, like, a random blue line going from his lip down his chin and, like...
looking like a shitty Venture Bros character.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I love him so much.
He looks like he's poorly cosplaying Doctor Strange.
Which is... gonna be hilarious if they run into each other because Doctor Strange is in this movie.
That makes as much sense as anything else.
Yeah. Were you the one, Dom, who sent me the Doctor Strange honest trailer?
I sent that to the group thread for Lady Geek Girl, and that was some sharp writing. That was pretty good.
The part about him, like, chewing on the American accent, like,
his accent wasn't terrific.
Yeah.
The best part is, like, and Tilda Swinton with the amazing power to keep Asians out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm like, way to make your opinion, like, just put it on the table, like, hey, we know we make insensitive jokes sometimes, but this is pretty bad, right? Like, so congrats to Honest Movie Trailers. can we talk about this cover for a second? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Like, first off, why is Rupert Grint... just by the way, if he's on this cover, like, he's adulting in a new TV series, if you were wondering.
I think the show is actually called Adulting, potentially.
That's what I assumed. It was probably something like that. But it's just funny to say, oh yeah, Rupert Grint, he's a guy who does stuff.
Yeah, he didn't stop after Harry Potter, don't worry.
And Thor has two swords.
Yeah.
So, curious where Mjolnir's at. Yeah. Is this when he becomes the... unworthy Thor? Is that going to happen?
We could only be so lucky.
Okay. You said that's Hela on the side?
Yeah, Hela on the left side. Okay. Looking... like, I'm kind of bummed about her at look, too, because she kind of looks like she's, like, going for a Zuko thing.
Like, interesting.
I don't know what the shadow around her one eye is.
Like, it's weird, too, because the boob armor is so dumb.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I can see why they went for it. I wouldn't have done it. But, like, I could see, like, why they thought it was a stylistic choice. But I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And then we have Sombra on the other side, which is pretty cool. Like, I'm not gonna lie. That looks like one of Sombra's alternate costumes.
There are worse things.
There are worse things, so... that's pretty cool. Thor's coming out. And Jeff Goldblum's killing it. What else we got today?
Would you expect anything else of Jeff Goldblum, though, honestly?
I hope he gets to fly.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
There's Jeff Goldblum the fly, and there he is. What's this next story? I don't know much about this whole half.
Okay, alright, so the next story is that they're still announcing casting for the new Star Trek series, giving me kind of a bad feeling about when it's ever going to come out, because I'm pretty sure it was originally slated for a summer premiere. And if they're still just announcing casting now, that's no good. But the...
Now, they're just announcing casting, or are these people that, like, are just now being cast?
I think if they're just announcing casting, because I think the reason that this came out that he was going to be the captain is that he tweeted something without checking with his publicist first if he was allowed to, of, like, okay, a picture of the captain's chair or something. And everyone was like, and then, like, the cat was out of the bag.
Okay, time to confirm then.
Yeah. So not just casting now, but they're still not, they haven't revealed all the players, as it were. It's interesting, it's already caused a lot of speculation, because, like, the selling point, one of the big selling points for Star Trek Discovery was that the main character, is a black woman. Except that in this case, unlike with every other Star Trek series, she's not the captain. Like, the focal point of the story is she's the second in command, which is cool because to some extent because, like, not seeing things from the captain's perspective could give us, like, a different, you know, it gives you a different look into, like, the workings of the ship and, like, the interactions between people. But it is kind of a bummer in that the first black woman main character of the Star Trek show is not the captain.
Yeah, it's kind of a cop-out, it feels like.
Yeah, but, and to some extent, on, like, a surface level, especially feels weird that then they went ahead and cast a white guy as the captain.
Oh, because of course you have to.
And so I'm wondering, though, because it's Brian Fuller doing the show, who is a guy who's not an idiot about these things, like he did Hannibal, like, I trust him to be sensitive to this kind of stuff. And because Jason Isaacs is classically a villain, like, I can name, like, one or two movies. It's like Sean Bean dying. Like, there are one or two movies in which Jason Isaacs plays a character who is not evil. and so I'm wondering, and the internet is also wondering now that since he in particular is being cast as the captain with a black woman as our heroine, if he is going to kind of represent, like, the ugly side of the Federation and end up being the bad guy.
Interesting. That would be a nice... That would be different.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting spin on things. So, yeah.
Well, I've never really got into Star Trek, but sounds interesting, and I hope it'll lead to some good discussion.
Yeah, I think if anything, it will lead to that.
Well, if the people are willing to have good discussion, because as it turns out, people aren't always willing to have good discussion about the roles in movies.
That was a hell of a segue.
It's not my worst. yeah, Finn Jones, what's up with this? What's up in Comic Land?
Back in Comic Land,
we can't get away.
I can't escape. And yet again, bouncing off Entertainment Weekly, their review of Iron Fist was ugly. Like, apparently,
just like
it's
everyone else's.
Yeah, just like apparently it's terrible, and it's not just like the goddamn SJWs on the internet saying it. Like, it's bad. Like, and someone, I'm not sure who, but someone started a genuinely polite discourse with Finn Jones, who plays Danny Rand, on Twitter about his casting, to which he pointed to the rest of the show and said, but we did cast lots of diverse characters. And they were like, yeah, but we were talking about you, buddy. Yeah. You're the white blonde guy at the center of this Asian show. And he was like, meh, 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 meh. And then he deactivated his Twitter.
Oh, jeez, there we go. That's, yeah. Taking criticism well, I see.
Yeah, it's really good at dealing with a dialogue, clearly.
What's you know, they really had an opportunity to do something interesting there by having, like, they could have had I saw people saying there was a way they could have had a white Iron Fist and it still worked in 2017. It wouldn't have been like white savior tropey if they would have played it that way, but they didn't. And there's no reason why you couldn't have had an Asian American person play Iron Fist,
Yeah. And
which is, you know, the hashtag that was going around.
yeah, it, like, I'm genuinely disappointed by his casting from start to finish, but the fact that he's like completely like just being an idiot about it is extra, like, and not just being an idiot about it, but like being like like liberal white guy patting himself on the back for like all of the other people in the show who are not white.
But he didn't cast those
Like,
people, did
yeah, you didn't cast those people, like, first of all. And second of all, like, not only did he not learn his lesson, when he came back to Twitter, the first thing he posted was a link to a real like Buddhist spiritualist kind of website about how to settle your chi.
There we go.
And I
That's
was like,
great.
wow.
That's really bad, dude. That's
That lesson
like a
was
high level of bad.
so far over your head.
But so from what I understand, it's not even like we could have just been like, buddy, that was cultural appropriation and it's bad, or it was racist and bad, or you took away someone else's role and it's bad. Like, it's not like it was just that. Like, from what I understand, like, he didn't even do a good job to begin with.
Yeah, from what I understand, the show, like, I mean, because if Entertainment Weekly is calling it out, it's likely that the show itself and the acting is bad, not just that it's racist, you know? Like, a mainstream, like, entertainment, like, magazine like that isn't going to necessarily, like, pan something entirely just based on its racism.
Like, Tilda Swinton could easily say, but like, hey, maybe I shouldn't have been the ancient one, but I played the hell out of that role, didn't I? And people could have been like, yeah, I guess so. You were on par with the rest of the movie. But
I
like,
didn't
that was
think
kind of
much, but
right. But they could have been like, that was racist, but like, you know, your acting wasn't the problem. But then I heard people say, like, the action in Iron Fist was bad, and like, Finn Jones just didn't do a good job. And that's kind of interesting as well. Like, that's a huge swing and a miss for Marvel
yeah,
if we're just
especially
talking about quality.
like one of the things that I think is the most frustrating about it is that, first of all, like, it's on two fronts. The first front is that Daredevil is obnoxiously anti-Asian racist, like, beyond,
Like, the
like,
show is
above,
racist, you mean?
like, yeah, like the
Okay.
story of the show is above and beyond anti-Asian racist. Like, all of the,
Fantastic.
like, the ch there's an old Chinese lady who is like a creepy dragon lady stereotype. Like, she runs an opium ring,
Oh, good.
like, and speaks in exclusively Chinese for the entire first season until she reveals that she actually does speak English at the end of the season.
Why was she doing that?
Because Asians are exotic and they don't speak
Oh,
English.
that's right, I forgot Disney.
Yeah, and then in the second season, where the Yakuza are the main villains, every Japanese person in the show is either a member of the Yakuza or associated with the corporation tied to the Yakuza or a ninja.
Oh, so
But Daredevil's a better ninja.
why does Daredevil hate Asian people?
Who knows?
Like, that's very br like that's very very specifically broad. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, that's not a good look. I didn't even we talked about this before, but I didn't like know the extent of it.
Yeah, so like there's that to begin with, is that the first part of this Netflix like quartet is very bad. The other half of it is that,
Mostly Finn Jones.
well, yeah, like Finn Jones, but the like Luke the reason Luke Cage and Jessica Jones were so powerful to the people that watched them were that they were about uniquely, like, experiences that were unique to the demographic they portrayed in a
Right, like, Luke
meaningful
Cage was a
way.
very like a very black story, and Jessica Jones, from what I understand, dealt with themes that women would have to deal with.
Yeah, like, Jessica Jones is ultimately about the lack of power women have against the patriarchy and, like, rape culture.
Right.
Luke Cage, to an extent, is actually about black-on-black crime, but
Yeah, I saw parts of that, and I was like, we'll just
it's like a very authentically black story in that it
yeah.
has that kind of like feeling to it, you know? Like,
Yeah, those are conversations that people within the black community have, whether for better or for worse. There is an internal sometimes struggle against, like, oh, what about the black on black crime? It's like, I know you're woke, buddy, but we've been talking about that since the 80s, so you're not the first person to suggest that. Like, oh man, how are we supposed to tell the white man he can't kill us if we can't stop killing ourselves? Like, buddy, I don't think there's ever been any quote-unquote black-on-black violence due to somebody's skin color. I'd be very shocked if that was the reason black people ever kill each other. But to have that in Luke Cage, I thought was still, you know, people do have these discussions. Like, there's a level of respectability politics within the community anyway, so.
Yeah, and, but, like,
I Iron Fist don't have that.
But, yeah, like, so, like, Daredevil capitalized on the fact that it had, like, a wooby white guy as its protagonist, and therefore really was going to continue to work regardless of how people criticized it. And then Jessica Jones told, like, a more nuanced story, to use phrase it politely, and then Luke Cage also did the same thing. And, like, no, Luke Cage broke Netflix. Like,
yes, that's when it happened.
Like, to ride off of those stories of marginalized people fighting against problems unique to their marginalization, and then make the most tone-deaf new series in the entire world.
That's really bad. Like they could have done such great things with it, actually. Like,
yeah, like, they could have spotlighted so many, like, so much new Asian talent. Like, they could have really fixed the so much of the, like, weird appropriation of the Iron Fist story. Like, look at Finn Jones's art. Like, in the comic books, Danny Rand, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage are best friends. Look at Iron Fist of the Netflix show and tell me this guy is going to be best friends with Mike Coulter's Luke Cage in any universe.
Nah, not in the universe they've crafted, at least.
Like, I just don't. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
But they're filming the Defenders series right now in New York City, so.
We'll see what they do with that. It's like Marvel's trying to give DC a chance to catch up. Like, because their cinematic universe is just, yeah, like, their cinematic universe has just been such crap. Like, and if it's not crap, it's not, like, it's not putting anybody in the mood. Like, the people who like it are DC fans, and I'm not going to begrudge them for liking it, but when you see, like a Marvel trailer, oh, that looks pretty interesting. Like, I'm not a fan of the Thor movies. I mean, I like Thor, but I don't like his movies that much from the beginnings. But at least I'm like, oh, that looks pretty interesting. That doesn't look like it's going to suck. That looks like it's just not for me. But when I saw, like, the last few trailers of Suicide Squad, I'm like, that looks like it's going to suck. Like, Batman vs. Superman, that looks bad. People are like, oh, no, man, you got to watch it. I'm like, no, I think it just looks bad. And, you know, other trailers don't always look bad. So it's like Marvel's saying, you know, softball. What else we got here?
Last little bit of stuff for our first thing. This is all the news that I collated over last week, and next section will be Dom's turn.
But yeah, called that.
Yeah, but so Warner Brothers is taking their Boomerang channel, which was always one of those channels that I wanted to have, but was never in my cable package, or I could never find it, like the Anime Network. But it's the same kind of, like, Boomerang concept as Boomerang has always been. It's a throwback channel that shows old, like, Hanna-Barbera cartoons and that kind of thing. But it's going to be streaming now. So if you ever want to watch old Looney Tunes or, like, Jabberjaw or something, now you can watch it on the Warner Brothers version of Netflix, instead of getting it in whatever CD way you were previously doing so.
$5 a month or $40 a year. That's, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to find that market.
Yeah, I wonder.
Like, those things are cool, but, like, there's kind of, like, such a limited shelf life for that. Like, if, like, they're just nickel and diming you so they don't have to, like, sell you the DVDs.
Yeah, and they do say that they're, like, I know that they're still making Looney Tunes cartoons. I don't know if anyone's watching them, but that's going to be, like, the new platform that they release them on.
Like, the new Looney Tunes? Yeah. Is what it is? It's not bad. It's they've done some interesting stuff. They've given all the characters personality that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bugs Bunny kind of He's comparable to Sonic. No, they're both, because they're both jackasses and kind of got away with it for way too long. But people are kind of like, hey, Bugs, like, you're kind of a dick. Like, you're funny and you're hilarious and, like, you're kind of the glue of our friendship, but sometimes you take it too far. And, like, Daffy's, like, a narcissist, you know. They actually gave a character to Lola Bunny.
Oh, wow.
It's not, like, the best character, but she's, like, fun to watch. Like, her characterization isn't the girl one anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
Like, she's kind of, like, she's, like, a very mentally unhinged, like, I don't know the proper way to say that. Like, she's Looney Tunes, I guess, they're all Looney Tunes in some way, but her and Bugs are off and on again, obsessed with each other, but not at the same time, so there has, like, this dysfunctional relationship that really kind of paints Bugs worse in a funny way. Like, he's like, oh, I can't stand to be around her. Like, she's the worst. And she's like, hey, Bug, let's go on a date or something. He's like, I don't want to. And then, like, I think I want to. And he ends up, like, doing the whole list. And she's like, yeah, you know, I don't think you're really the guy that I want to go after. Like, you're kind of a jerk. He's like, no, I'm great. And it's kind of has, like, this nice back and forth dynamic without making her just a proxy for him kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I keep wanting to say Donald and Goofy, but Staffy. He's had this girlfriend this one time who was, like, I don't know if she was supposed to be, like, sassy black or spicy Latina stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
But she was some bird of color, it seemed like. But Daffy was like, she's pretty great, huh? And like, yeah, you guys are good together. So it didn't seem awful. It was just different to see characters that were very specifically a culture besides just Speedy. Who seems to be, like, everyone loves Speedy, so it's kind of nice. So, I mean, if they're trying to sell it just based on this, some of those old movies are kind of racist. I don't know if I want to see those again, especially when I can just buy them on DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So,
Warner Brothers.
And it is something they can do to avoid, like, the cost of producing a DVD for something like Hong Kong Phooey, which did not age well, but people might still want to be like, hey, I used to watch that at 6 o'clock in the morning when I was getting ready for school.
Hong Kong Phooey was so dope and so racist, though, like, looking back on it. But, like, at the time, I was like, Hong Kong Phooey is that dude. Hong Kong Phooey would have had a better revival than Iron Fist would have. Because they're both people from another culture taking on Asian stereotypes. But at least Hong Kong Phooey was very coded as a black dude, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was,
was a dog.
Like, yeah.
he was the smoothest dude, and he was always like, what was the telemarketer's name? Rosemary or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Rosemary, we gotta hang out. She's like, oh, Hong Kong Phooey, you're a nice guy, or whatever his name was, like, whatever his real name was, but, oh, man, some of these old cartoons were bad, but he was cool, personally. The Secret Squirrel would be on there too, then, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Secret Squirrel was that dude. I don't want to wax poetic about these old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Hey, we don't need a soliloquy about Top Cat.
Do we?
I don't think we do. Oh, let's just go to a break, though.
Okay.
And we'll be back. Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that music. As always, you can find it in the show notes, and we urge you, as hard as we possibly can with a few short seconds, to go support those artists. They are making great things, and you should let them know and support them. And after that music that I hope was amazing, I just saw an amazing trailer. And I think, Steph, I think you'd be more excited to announce it than me, so...
Oh, yeah, definitely. So what Dom has just watched, and which I watched earlier today, is the Wonder Woman Origins trailer, which gives us a lot of a closer look at Themyscira, and her, like, training as a young Amazon before she went out into the big world, to man's world. And it looks pretty badass, let me just say.
It does. It's, it looks like it has something that the other DC movies didn't have at all.
Which is color?
Appropriate humor. color,
female appropriate humor,
appropriate female characters,
multiple female characters, probably passes the Bechdel test at some point,
I'd assume,
potentially.
Suicide Squad had three female characters, which isn't a lot, but it's more than we've got before. Does Suicide Squad pass the Bechdel test?
I would not put it into my eyes to find out.
Fair enough. I assume Amanda Waller may have talked to Harley at some point, and Harley may have talked to the Enchantress, but I won't have my hopes up about that. But yeah, Wonder Woman looks pretty dope. The action looks fun. There was a spot that looked kind of like junky CGI, or that may have just been my computer, when she dives off the cliff. That looked...
Yeah, it looked
that
cool.
Just... ripped me out of it real bad. I'm like, ugh. you could have just... I would have assumed that she dove off the water if you would have just shown her jump and then land in the water. But nitpicks for the sake of it. It looks really cool. There's some jokes in there. I hope that they don't focus on the dude too much, but...
Yeah, as much as I love Chris Pine, it's definitely Diana's movie, so... Hopefully, like, their relationship won't take too much... of, like, a front.
I can't imagine that it... Like, I can't... Well, this is probably going to be a two-hour movie, if we're being honest. So the first hour probably won't even have a minute, I'd say.
Like, it seems like it's going to be... I give it half hour, 45 minutes to build the Amazons.
So we're not going to get a lot of Wonder Girl, just a lot of Wonder Woman, then?
Yeah. That's what I think.
That's fair. Also, this is, like, is this one of the first few comic book movies to do this? Like, to have the origin story... happen after the character's been introduced into the universe?
I think so. Because we haven't got a Black Widow movie yet.
I don't want a Black Widow movie.
I know you don't. I'm not married to either, but...
Let's just get Squirrel Girl. Or, like, any of the women of color.
Yeah. I mean, Batman... Well, if Batfleck ever does make a Batman movie... has already been introduced into the DC universe.
Well, his origins was in that movie too, though, so...
It was in Man of Steel?
I think so. They showed the scene where, like, the pearls dropped.
Oh, okay.
So I assume...
another movie, DC movie, that I did not torture myself by putting into my eyeballs. Yeah.
The trailers didn't look good. That's what I'm judging it off of. So before I get flamed on the internet, maybe it's good. I'm not going to know anytime soon.
Yeah, it's not a typical Marvel spin, but it's possible that it's a DC thing.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming in June, so I want to see what the... Because I was excited for Suicide Squad 2 to the last round of trailers, so let's see what the last round of trailers looks like for Wonder Woman. But it looks promising. So, like, they look like they'd be building something, so...
Yeah.
I think female viewers might get a little bit more out of this to see some representation, so I'm hoping y'all get excited. For me, I'm assuming, worst case scenario, I'll just be bored and walk away from it like, not bad. That's what I'm hoping. It's not bad or better. I don't want to dislike this movie. I really don't want to dislike this movie. Like, I'll be so sad if it's bad.
Yeah.
So speaking of women being not so great, or not being portrayed well, I guess.
Speaking of trailers that don't look good, also.
That's a better segue than mine. I was trying to make a joke and it didn't work. I don't even own a fedora, but there's a live-action Little Mermaid movie coming out.
There are multiple.
You watched the trailer for the Hans Christensen one?
Yeah, the Hans Christian Andersen one.
Hans Christian Andersen. Who's Christensen?
Hayden Christensen played Anakin in the Star Wars prequels.
can he play the prince in this one? That'd be cool, right? No, but there's a Little Mermaid live action trailer coming out, and I clicked through the trailer and it looked pretty bad, but you watched it.
Yeah, the trailer was in fact pretty bad. It's so confused looking, like, I'm not sure. It's supposed to be based on the, I presume, it's presumably, since it's not, like, the Disney remake, a la, like, Beauty and the Beast and Mulan and stuff that they're doing, it's presumably supposed to be based on the actual Hans Christian Andersen story, but in that story, the Little Mermaid's, like, it's, like, horribly tragic, and, like, the Little Mermaid, when she gets her legs, like, even though she can walk on land, like, it feels like there are knives, like, she's stepping on knives all the time. So this Little Mermaid in this movie does not look that beleaguered. She also doesn't show up until a minute into this 2-minute trailer, and the movie seems to be more about, like, the girl who finds the mermaid and her, like, siblings who help her rescue the mermaid from, like, a circus. But the circus seems like a super, like, 50s portrayal of a circus with, like, a quote-unquote gypsy fortune teller and, like, one black lady and, like, another girl who looks like if someone were gonna make, like, a live-action Esmeralda from Hunchback of Notre Dame Disney movie, like, with that, like, curly hair and, like, the kerchief and stuff, and it's like,
oh, jeez, countdown to blackface.
Yeah,
like, how racist can they make Sebastian? That's the real question.
Yeah, so I don't know if this one will have Sebastian in it, because it's not the Disney one. But
I mean, I feel like they're trying to ride off the success of Beauty and the Beast right now.
Oh, so yeah, they definitely are. So if they include any sort of animal sidekick, I'd buckle up.
It's gonna be a racist crap. Which, I wouldn't pay to go see that movie, but I would pay to see a racist crab, because...
Well, just wait until Disney gets to theirs.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's true. Well, they have a great track record this year, right?
Yeah, you know, like, they're doing so well with this Beauty and the Beast movie coming up.
Moana was good, at least.
Yeah, but that was last year. We're in 2017 now. We're off the edge of the map.
Ooh, we're actually out of the Oscar season too, so yeah. It is next year. It is next year. Yeah. Welcome to 2017. Everything sucks.
Yeah, here there be monsters.
Speaking of things that suck, have you seen Belle's dress for Beauty and the Beast?
It is garbage, frankly. Like,
all the cosplayers I've talked to are like, this is horribly constructed. Like, you can go for, like, simplistic if you want to. Like, Rosalina's dress compared to Peach and Daisy's is simple. It's just kind of one
more
solid
of a shift
color
in a ball gown kind of thing.
Yeah, there's not all kinds of ruffles. It's not a fancy dress, but it's nice. It looks good.
Yeah.
Belle's dress is cheap and
poorly
apparently
constructed, and looks like it should be like the slip that goes underneath the Belle dress.
Minimum. And you can see like the glue lines through it from some pictures that I've seen and some cosplayers pointed out. And that's just bad construction for a Disney budget. You could have paid a cosplayer to do a better, like an amateur cosplayer to do an on-par job for a lot less. And they would have done it for cheaper if that was with less materials. So I don't know. That's just a little thing that I saw this week. Another thing I saw this week, they finally casted someone for Domino in Deadpool.
Yes. So, there all kind of rumors were circling around, for a while. Was it Kerry Washington for a while?
I believe so. That was somebody they had picked.
Yeah, and then Janelle Monáe's name was getting thrown around. Neither of those people ended up getting cast, but they did decide to go with a black actress, which I'm glad they decided to stick with.
Very nice. I believe her name is Zazie Beetz. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to pronounce it. But she was in Atlanta, and Atlanta has done very well. Shout out to Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover. So yeah, I'm glad that they're, you know, bringing women of color, because Domino is not a woman of color in the comics, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. She's white, but she also paints herself white with, like, a black circle over her one eye. Like, that's her, like, her look. Her L-U-K-E, her L-E-W-K look.
I mean, the Joker does white face, too, and no one gets mad at him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's, like, she's not, like, she's white, but she paints her face most of the time anyway, so.
Oh, I see.
I wonder how they'll...
All right, is she going to paint her face?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether or not she'll paint her
face. Honestly?
It's
a Deadpool movie. that likes to do stuff, so it's possible she'll paint her whole face black with a white dot.
That would be a loss.
I mean, I don't know what they do with this. Do they just paint her eye? Do they make a joke about it? Do they call attention to it? I don't know. But it's nice to see women of color in comic book movies.
Yes.
Because they exist. Even if Marvel Studios doesn't want to put them into movies and shows, people of color do exist. So, you know, we'll get there. I hope the Colossus and Negasonic come back. They were cool characters.
Yeah, definitely.
Complimented Deadpool well.
Maybe even now that the first movie did so well, they'll be allowed to use more X-Folk.
I hope they increase the budget while at the same time you have this much money to work with. Use it only to pay actors and actresses. Don't use it on the special effects because that worked in your favor last time.
Yeah.
Like, how cheap can you make a movie with this high of a budget? Just have, like, mad cameos just out the wall and all kinds of licensing money, but you still can't afford a good gunfight. I mean, I don't know. Dearth inspires creativity. And lastly, this week, there's a sequel to an old Steven Universe game. It's called Attack the Light. It was the game. It came out on Android and iOS, some mobile stuff. I don't think it came out on any other platforms, but it was a kind of a small little RPG where you timed your hits, kind of like the Mario and Luigi or Super Mario RPG or Paper Mario RPG games. So you pick an attack and then you do some motion on the screen, either click and drag something, spin something, tap or whatever, like in time with attacks, and you do more or less damage. It was pretty much about Steven and the gems going around kind of fighting light monsters and whatnot using special powers. And Steven did not directly battle. He just either shielded, played his ukulele, or distributed items, and it was the three gems that fought. Pretty fun game. A little bit tricky, but not if you've played video games for more than 2 years, nothing you wouldn't be able to handle. But it's getting a sequel called Save the Light.
Ooh.
And now instead of just the 3.5 or 4 playable characters, there's going to be 8. So Connie shows up.
Oh, nice.
Greg seems to be there. I think Greg might be a support character as well, just based on the way that Steven played. He's probably just going to play electric guitar, that kind of thing. Connie gets into the action. She uses Rose's sword. I have a feeling they'll get more fusions in because you can only do Alexandrite in the original game, and she just did an attack. And the way you had to use it each match just was a lot of... You had to save attacks, and to actually unleash her, it wasn't worth the time. It was better to just attack something, because by the time you got her, it's like, well, we could have won this fight already.
Mm.
Kind of like the show, other than with Malachite, but yeah, it's in 3D. You walk around and stuff like that. You actually explore Beach City. It's called Save the Light rather than Attack the Light, so...
It's kind of more in line with the Steven Universe MO.
Yeah. So they were light monsters, but apparently Steven was just making them. I never finished the game because I was getting kind of bored at the end. Still recommend playing it. It's like $2, $2 or $3, but apparently he was able to stop it. Like, it wasn't as much of a threat as it was perceived initially.
Mm.
So now it might be like, now you have to actually go save it from something. I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's coming to console, so Xbox One, PS4, maybe Switch. I hope it gets a PC release because I really don't feel like spending $400 to play Steven Universe. So there's that. Anyway, well, that's it. So we will see you all after the break. Please enjoy this music. I know you'll love it. And if you don't love it, you will at least like it. Peace.
Last little break there. Hope you like the music, and we're about to get into our last segment of the week, which is, as always, stuff we got this week. And we'll probably talk about Steven Universe a little, because we haven't yet.
Yes.
Latest episode.
Each week. Steph, what'd you get this week?
I got a bunch of cool stuff, actually, for a first time in a while. Upside of having a new job is that I have some spending money occasionally now, and I can buy myself stuff.
Cha-ching!
Right? Cash register noise, gunshot. So one of the things that I have purchased for myself in the last week were blue LED lights for my Tracer accelerator that I'm going to make for my casual Tracer cosplay that I'm going to wear to TekoshCon in a couple weeks.
It's less than a month away. Oh god.
Oh god. I need to start working on that.
Maybe. Hashtag relatable.
Yeah, they're pretty great. They're very bright, like, leave, like, a shadow on your vision when you look away from them bright. Like, you have, like, a yellow spot on your vision, so it's a good thing they'll be, like, on my torso, and I won't be staring into them. And it'll be a good punishment for people who feel like staring at my tits that day.
Well, you know, maybe they just, like, go towards the light, as it were. did you see the LED lights I had when you visited my house that one time?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
They work as black lights?
LED lights work similar to black lights. Don't know what you're going to do with that information. Do whatever you would like with that information. But if you have, like, say, mustard stains or something.
If you're thinking about hanging them in your bedroom, maybe think twice.
Yes. Or maybe that's what you want to do because you have some kind of creepy Christian Grey sex dungeon. That's up to you.
You want to spotlight it. To show people how much fun people have been having at your creepy sex dungeon.
Welcome to my lair. For those who don't know, because that's an obscure reference even to me, it feels like, from a not obscure game, Portal 2, when you finally work through everything, you get back to Wheatley. He's like, oh, so you've made it here, so I just want to let you know, welcome to my lair. And he drops his voice roll, though, and he's trying to be intimidating as hard as he can. But the only thing that scares is the fact that the facility is going to blow up because of his negligence. And you're like, I just need to hurry up and beat you so I can get out of here. Also, I wrote a piece on Lady Geek Girl one time about how Portal 2 is the feminine analog to the masculine shooter. And I think it still holds up. So go check that out one day.
That's a throwback. That's from one of your first posts on the blog, I think.
It's like a second or third post I ever wrote, like, for there. And I don't know. I think it makes a lot of sense. I hear people talking more about it. Not my post. No one has seen it. But the idea of, like, a sapphic shooter. Because so much stuff is based on, like, the phallic imagery, you know, swords and rifles. I'm like, well, the portal gun is... I don't even know if I made this specific
Ionic,
point, but the...
I think is the one.
Ionic? That's the opposite?
Sapphic is, like, lesbian.
Well, it's that too.
But yeah, Ionic is implying a void as opposed to phallic implying, like, a protrusion.
Ionic the Hedgehog. but...
Unlike
yes,
the porn titles.
Unlikely my ass. But yeah, like, so much about Portal is going, obviously, through portals and through openings, and the portal gun itself is open rather than closed, kind of like Symmetra's gun. It's kind of striking me that we're at an age where people may not have played Portal 2 out of, like, youth, rather than just they didn't at the time. That's wild, but, yeah, and all the negative characters in that game are the men, such as Cave Johnson and Wheatley are negative, which is interesting to me.
Female.
Yes, but it's not her fault. Well, she's just evil. She's a bad guy. She's not a piece of shit. She's just a bad guy.
Okay.
Like, she's purposely antagonistic for the sake of being antagonistic, whereas Cave Johnson and Wheatley are antagonistic out of, like, selfishness or horniness. I believe Wheatley is his addiction to testing, as it were. It's a good parallel to sex, in my opinion. Some people say to drugs, which is applicable, but for my metaphor, sexual desire works better. So check that out. It's interesting. It'll blow your mind. And I also got Overwatch cosplay stuff to jump on Steph's bandwagon. I got a jersey that I'm gonna make into a Lucio jersey, kind of like his hockey spray. Not his hockey skin, but the spray for Christmas, winter. What else you get this week?
Well, I got two books that I'm very excited about. First one is a book that's already published, just came out very recently. It's called The Hate U Give. It's a YA book about a black girl who witnesses one of her good friends let her unarmed good friend get shot by a policeman. But she...
Topical.
Yeah, so it's very topical, but, like, it's also very, like... it's topical in general, but, like, it's also got, like, very interesting issues. I'm only midway through it, but, like, she goes to a private school in, like, a very white upper-class neighborhood, and, like, it discusses, like, her code-switching as she goes between her own neighborhood and the school, and, like, her just, like, feelings of distrust of, like, her white boyfriends... after she witnesses this white cop killing her friend, and, like, whether or not she feels like she can reach out to, like, the black principal at that school, or whether he's playing the respectability politics game, like, it's won a record-breaking, not one, but, like, it's received a record-breaking 8-star reviews amongst the publishing community, which is way above and beyond the usual...
Very nice.
Number of anything. And it's on it's number one on the New York Times bestseller list. One of three, actually, black women penned YA novels that are up there right now, which is pretty awesome.
This is a good couple months for black creators then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate to that character. I just saw Get Out and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to go to people's house right now. I don't see any neighbors. I'm going to just, call Mulligan on this little vacation.
Yeah, it's like I said, I'm only a quarter of the way through it so far.
So you'll be done tonight then.
I'm planning on finishing it tonight actually. But the other one that I got is like a complete heel turn away from that. It is not contemporary, it is not particularly topical, and it is fantasy. But it is an advanced copy of a book that's coming out in June, I believe. Yes, June 17th.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's an advanced review copy. Like, they send them out to the libraries and stuff for people to read.
Oh, okay.
I didn't, like, read the manuscript. It's from the place that I now work. But I'm not going to review it for the blog or anything because that feels, like, a little bit too incestuous.
Oh, we're gonna get Library Gate next. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
I don't want to. I want to keep some ethics in intersectional feminist journalism. But
let's see if 2017 shapes up to be worse than 2014.
I mean,
might be tough.
I don't know, man. I think it's already trying awfully hard.
This
book is a bright spot in it because it is about. It's a historical fantasy set during its young male protagonist's grand tour of Europe in the 18th or so century. And it is got magic in it, and the main character is a bisexual guy who has presumes it's unrequited crush on his best friend who is traveling with him across the continent. So, and there's magic, and it's very much being billed as like a kind of like quirky fun teen romance novel, so I am very excited to read it. It's like I've been like putting off starting it because I still have 15 library books outstanding, and I want to be able to just sit down like and like cuddle up in a blanket with like some hot chocolate and enjoy it. I'm so excited.
Well, good luck. I hope it comes soon. Phrasing.
About those LED lights.
nice interplay. That's quality podcasting. You're getting this for free, y'all. This is quality podcasting. The last thing I got this week before we talk about Stevie Uni is I got an order from Amazon Pantry, which is cool. They gave me like a $5 credit because I bought a Sidney Crosby Funko Pop. I'm like, you like sports, you probably need groceries. So within this box, I got some shower soap, which is nice. It's a scent that I haven't seen in the stores before of a brand of the Dove that I get, Dove Men's, which I don't know. I guess it's just that it's Dove Men's, so you know it's not flowery scented, because the box is just the bottle's gray. It doesn't seem to be like super gendered. I think it's the same bottle as women's, just gray instead of translucent or whatever.
Gunmetal gray.
Gunmetal gray is a cool color. Why do you think gunmetal is made out of gunmetal? It's awesome. Also, I got like a couple bottles of water because I just wanted to fill the box up without it being a waste. I can just go down the store, but I didn't want to spend too much money, and I figured let's see what the service is like. Because you pay $6 for shipping no matter what.
And only like, if you don't purchase qualifying items, which I always manage to do.
I didn't even attempt to do that. I didn't realize that was a thing. I also bought some Cottonelle wipes, like those good little flushable wipes that people say you still shouldn't flush. Because, as an old joke once goes, if someone were to smear peanut butter on one of your walls, would you be happy if they just wiped it with a paper towel? No, you wouldn't be. Your wall would still be dirty. So, get a little bit of, like, a wipe or something. And, to go from something disgusting to something very sweet, Steven Universe was amazing this week.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I was like, I don't know how he's gonna turn from this, but,
You know me well enough to know I was gonna try.
But yeah, so, this week's episode, do you want a brief recap? You want me to do it?
I can do it. So, spoiler alert, for this episode. It's whatever. So, Steven and Garnet are wishing on stars, being their ever so cute selves. It's actually very adorable. Go watch it. And they see another shooting star, and it's the star screaming. And it turns out it's one of the rubies from space. This one's Navy, because she had her ruby on her navel. And Steven's creative. So Garnet just kind of pieces out to do whatever, while Steven's like, oh, we have somewhere where Ruby can live. So he takes her to the barn, where Lapis and Peridot are being a lovely lesbian couple. And if that's not canon in the next few episodes, they are really just waiting. So Navy just loves everything. She has like such a cutesy voice. Like she looks like a 40s cartoon, like the way her eyes look. She's like is so happy, but she loves everything. They introduced her. And throughout this, Lapis kind of feels like, how's she adapting so well? Like it took me so long to get used to Earth. Like, and Navy's like, oh, I love it. And every time they introduce something else, she's like, this is great, I love it. And it's like, she's really weird, but okay, cool, whatever. And Peridot's like, cool, we get to teach somebody stuff. And Lapis creates a rain cloud to show Navy what the rain is, and they both get wet. And I didn't realize, but Peridot's hair acts like hair. It's not just a triangle. And her design looks really cool when her hair's wet. And she levitates more and more stuff. Like, she's getting more comfortable with it as time goes on, which is a nice little thing. And they notice that Lapis is kind of pissed, so they talk to her, and she's like, oh, no, like, I don't, I just feel bad. Like, you're like, oh, this is kind of, like, she does, like, she had to get over her PTSD, and Ruby seemed to not care that they got tricked into going into space and flung out of a space station.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, and then Ruby's like, oh, no, actually, or Navy's like, I am actually sad, you know, I just wish I could go to my ship and just see what it's like. And they're like, oh, it's right over there. So they get in it, and they're all poking around, and Lapis is still in the dumps, and Navy's like, hey, Steven, you know, you press that button, I'll show you what the ship really can do. And he's like, oh, okay, cool, and presses the button, and it's in a hatch. And she's like, haha, and they fall out of it. And Steven's like, oh, no, what's wrong? And Navy's like, the only thing wrong is that you're still holding on. And they're like, wait, what? And it turns out she betrayed them, and Steven's like, why'd you go through all that? Like, you could have just taken it as soon as you got here. She's like, yeah, but then I wouldn't have got to see the look on your face when you got tricked. And I'm like, bruh.
That's the whole time, so sneaky.
It was so sneaky, and she had the same happy voice the whole time. Like, she never broke the facade, so I don't think it is a facade. She just lied and drops him in the ocean, and Lapis is like, that's hilarious. I'm not the only one who would have had a hard time adjusting. And they go back and talk to Garnet, and Garnet has like a, hey, congratulations, and a sorry for your loss balloon. And she's like, I had both just in case, and like pops the happy one. And then it closes with like a picture of Navy, like in the stars, like grinning at him like, hey, tricked ya. Like that anime trope when someone dies and you see him in the stars, but she wasn't dead. She just took the homeworld ship, presumably back to homeworld. So,
it's, like, interesting to see, like, a Ruby with that level of, like, prevarication. Like, she totally, like, totally pulls one over on them because even that, even, like, the
higher the crystal level gems, for, like,
yeah,
a better word.
Yeah, don't expect a Ruby to be, like, sneaky.
Yeah, and Garnet, her perception,
like,
apparently
her
is...
future vision, like, apparently couldn't tell, like, she brought both.
I don't think she cared, like, because she's acted on the, she's like, I knew it was going to turn out one of two ways, and I took a guess, and this time she's like, eh, I didn't really care, because, I don't know, but I agree with you, I thought rubies were dumb, like.
Yeah, like, I thought that was part of the character, like, I don't know.
And I guess we don't have proof that she's not dumb, that she was able to pull off a simple task.
Yeah, but.
I thought it was hilarious, that. Great villain. Like, great villainous episode.
Yeah. They're not, like, definitely a good space filler. Like it takes care of... It checks off one of the rubies. Like, we know now where she went and what she's doing. Like, she's not just floating through space. But it also, like, it wasn't really, like, a plot movement episode.
No. Like, not in the traditional sense. But I think it has the same kind of plot relevance that Laser Light Cannon did. Like, you know, the second episode of the freaking show where they blew up that red eye and Peridot's like, that was my eye you blew up and we just now got here. A whole season later. So people are like, yeah, Ruby's probably going to go tell Homeworld where exactly they're at and what's going on. Because I guess nobody on Homeworld knows that they're there except for Yellow Diamond, who didn't seem to care that much. But yeah, this could have developments. This could be
yeah.
a thing. Because Holly Blue wasn't going to snitch on him at this point, so... Maybe a Ruby will, if anyone will listen to a Ruby, but I doubt that'll be a thing.
Yeah, that'll be questionable.
But good episode overall.
Yeah,
better than Tiger Philanthropist.
Yeah.
Anything else, Steph? I think we covered everything.
Nope, I think we're good.
That's as succinct as we can do.
Yep. As brief as we can be with that many things to talk about.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. But say you do like what we talked about and you want to hear more from us... You want to see more from us? That's simple. You can follow this blog. Not this blog. It's been a long day and my mouth hurts. You can follow this podcast many places, specifically on Twitter, at CharacterRev, 2 R's in the middle. That's CharacterRev, CharacterReveal.Simplecast.fm, or Google Play Store, iTunes, Stitcher, all those kind of places. You can find me at Brother Dom anywhere on the internet. It's whatever. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph, or... on Tumblr, at the Snow Queer. You know, like a frozen lapis. The Snow Queer. Please confirm them, gay canon. you can also find us writing for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. It's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. Intersection of feminism. We talk about all kinds of stuff like this. It's where you can find my discussion about Portal 2. Or any of the million of things Steph has written about. As well as one of our writers' thoughts about Get Out and other things. And that's all the things. We did the thing.
It's true. We did it.
Well, listeners, it's been fun. I'm going to go nurse myself back to health. I might just cry in my bed for a while until the pain goes away.
Or you can take some damn Advil.
I don't have any Advil. I'll have to go bother my brother. I'll do something. I'm not going to just tough it out. That never works anyway. But listeners, thanks for joining us. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.